It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. All kinds of great information there. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. That's where you will get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast and our most recent op-eds. It is a Monday morning. The sun is going to come up again, which is a great thing. It is quite a time in America right now as we are waiting the results on what is going to play out regarding this election. It was absolutely astounding to me when I went over to Liberty Toastmasters on Saturday morning and looked at my phone, and all of the major news outlets were calling the race for Joe Biden. I have to admit, producer Steve, I became distressed. I think that's going to be the word I'm going to use, is I became distressed when I saw that. And as I made my remarks very impromptu as the Toastmaster on Saturday, I just really spoke from the heart my concern for America right now, Steve.
Were you a Debbie Downer?
Well, I'm afraid I was a bit of a Debbie Downer.
Rightfully so. I mean, I saw that coming at me from whatever I was doing Saturday morning, but everywhere I turned, that was popping up, and I thought, okay, this smells. This smells like the overall script that's being played out, and a script that was written a long time ago, and this is the way it would go down with the major media and their complicity.
I have to totally agree. I think it was probably better that I didn't. I was trying to find a photo of a stinky fish, and I was going to post on Facebook that something stinks here. But there's a lot of people out there that's looking at this. So I kind of had to get through Saturday. My fellow Toastmasters were actually, I think, more positive than I was. And as I listened to a pastor yesterday, and then the Sidney Powell information that came out, it's more like this is intriguing now what is happening. But before we get into all of this, it is Veterans Day week. And Steve, you have taken a look at the guests that we have coming. All of you that received the newsletter saw that as well. In the third and fourth segment of each day this week, I will be featuring a veteran, and the stories that we have will blow your socks away. Off, I guess. You blow your socks off, right?
Yeah. Well, let's get our vernacular correct. When Wednesday gets here, there are a lot of people know that, you know, my history is I was in the Air Force, and they'll just heap all kinds of, you know, the praise that goes on. And I am slow to accept it, because my first thought of is Normandy and or the South Pacific. It's like, I did nothing like those guys did.
That is actually what I hear even from the guys that were at Normandy and survived it, or in the Pacific. But we need to thank each and every veteran for our freedom. And our freedom is actually under assault right now. It's going to be interesting how it plays out, but that's one of the things that we do, is we engage in this battle of ideas with words and ideas, and that is really what America was founded on. This show comes to you because I work with great people, all my great sponsors that you hear throughout the show. I greatly appreciate them as well. As go to my website, and when you're doing business, do business with these sponsors, but also this great team that I get to work with, and that is Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Each of you listeners, you're each treasured, you're valued. Thank you for listening, and today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And on that, Steve, this is a great segue. Rick Turnquist, and you can check him out at advancefreedom.com. He also does a number of op-eds. He and I worked together to put together our voter's guide, which many people reached out and said that they really appreciated it. We looked at this voter's guide as what we felt would adhere to the vision of the Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal with these rights of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, which means government should be smaller and the people should be bigger, the individual should be bigger. And we were not paid to do this. We did this because we are Americans, we're Coloradans. But if people decided to contribute, because I buy my airtime, we're not influenced by anything, we always strive for truth. We had a number of people that contributed to say thank you for the voter's guide. And I wanted to say thank you to them. I'm very quickly just gonna give their first names. And that is Linda, Nancy, David, Jan, Wayne, Stuart, Marjorie, Roy, Lauren, Christy, Daniel, Steve, Edward, Rick, Sue, Johnny, Brian, Anna Maria, Robert, Mike, Ben, Linda, Edward, Terry, Lily, Duffy, Esther, Marianne, Nathan, Sophia, Grady, Diane, Dennis, Nancy, John, Jan, Lance, Julianne, Patty, Cecilia, Jen, Bethany, Don, and Ben. Thank you to each and every one of you. Just the price of a latte, everything helps. And I just wanted to say thank you. That's quite a list that we have, Steve.
It is, and I'm almost wondering, even by first names only, if I maybe know some of those people.
You do know some of those people, and then some of them we don't. And I want to get to know each and every one of you better. And I just really, really want to say thank you. And I know that Rick says thank you as well.
Well, whether I know them or not, the effort was monumental. The effort was, since I went in person to one of your presentations, looking at the crowd and the way they engaged you guys, you and Rick, it was no doubt effective and valued.
And next time, I'm thinking of even more ways to get the information out. I know that it was very effective, but even want to help more people with that. So thank you. Thank you to each of you. I greatly appreciate that. And if any of you want to support us and contribute, you can go to my website, kimmunson.com, and just hit the contribute button there. We really do appreciate it. This week, I was talking to Zach about there's so much going on out there. I think, Steve, you and I have been somewhat distressed. I'm typically a very positive person. I have felt some despondency on this, and it's like, okay, snap out of it. Because we are Americans. We can't be distressed and despondent. We have to step up to the plate and continue to strive for the American idea. But I have to say, I've had to have a little, pick myself up by the bootstraps here, watch the information out there. But we're going to be talking about veterans. And when you hear these stories this week, you will realize that we stand on the shoulders of giants. And I do not believe that the divine provider who had his hands on the founding of this country is going to abandon us now. And I just don't think that's going to happen, Steve.
Well, that thought is certainly out there. And any person of a specific spiritual status who knows a little biblical history would say, yeah. And then you apply it to this time, here and now, and you think, well, maybe people just have to be taught. People need to see what can happen when we vote the way we have as a nation or even as Coloradans.
Well, we'll talk about the national vote here in just a moment because I think that we have acquiesced in this battle of ideas because we've had good manners, if you will, to not talk about politics and religion with our friends and our family and our colleagues. And we need to understand these premises and then be able to communicate them in respectful but knowledgeable ways.
You're right. But also, I'm starting to feel that that's being used against us. What do you think?
How so?
Well, there's some great memes in social media right now and say even with the potential outcome, there's no rioting in the streets right now. Our side is not out there preparing to, having pallets of bricks delivered and that kind of stuff. It's not happening.
Well, what it would mean is we'd go out and we destroy our own businesses. That's not something that we would want to do. We want to build stuff up. Like we don't want to destroy.
We're smarter than that.
See, Steve, that is what is really going on here. Do we want to build things up or do we destroy? Those are the two questions out there. The balance of the show, actually, we will be talking with Representative Dave Williams here in Colorado. There's going to be a very important vote today on the Republican side on who will be the minority House leader. And we wanted to talk to Representative Dave Williams about that. At the bottom of the hour, Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management will give us an update on what's going on there. And then in the third and fourth segment, Keith McKim. He is a storyteller. He's a former Army Green Beret, received the Silver Star for Valor, Bronze Star, and Purple Heart. And he has put together some audiobooks on several Medal of Honor winners from the Vietnam War. And today he's going to tell us the story of Roy P. Benavides. And it is one of the most inspirational stories that you'll hear in quite some time, until, I guess, tomorrow, and then the next day, and the next day, and the next day. We have five amazing stories for you. But our quote for today is from President Ronald Reagan, 1983, in a radio address to the nation. He said, "Veterans know better than anyone else the price of freedom, for they've suffered the scars of war. We can offer them no better tribute than to protect what they have won for us." Steve, that is what's on the line right now here in America.
And I think of the horror stories we heard prior to, say, 2015, 2016, of what was going on in all the veterans-oriented organizations, and, like, you know, just the VA itself, mm-hmm. all the disasters that were out there awaiting these guys when they tried to claim their benefits and or get medical care and that kind of stuff. And much has been done to improve that over the last 4 years.
Yes. And it's important to recognize that. Before we go to break, Sidney Powell, she's on, I think, President Trump's legal team, as well as she is the attorney for General Flynn. And she was on Maria Bartiromo yesterday. And there are a couple of things that she said that are absolutely amazing. She said that they have identified 450,000 ballots, and this is in these swing states, that had one vote on their ballot, and that was for Joe Biden. And many of these, we know, were delivered in the middle of the night when the vote counting looked like it was going for Donald Trump. Another thing that is so interesting is she said that many of the top Democrats are using the Dominion voting systems to commit fraud on elections. In fact, in Michigan, that particular voting system flipped 6,000 votes from Donald Trump to Joe Biden. And that is used throughout many of these different states. I think she said there's 28 states. But she also mentioned that Nadeem El-Shami, a House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's former chief of staff, who last year became a lobbyist for Dominion, and Richard Blum, who is California Senator Dianne Feinstein's husband, says that she is a significant shareholder in the company. Now, really?
You're making me ill here.
Really? Really? You've got a sitting senator who has an ownership in this business, and then the former chief of staff for Nancy Pelosi is the lobbyist for this. When we say something stinks, it really stinks, Steve. And so this is one of these things, I think, my friends, sit back, get some popcorn, and we're going to watch how this whole thing plays out. Before we go to break, though, Hooters Restaurants is one of my great partners. They have five locations: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. They have game day specials if you're watching football. They have to-go specials if you're going to have friends over. They have a party pack to go. And then they also have great lunch specials. Kids eat free. It's a great place just to meet with friends. Go to HootersColorado.com for more information. That's HootersColorado.com. We'll be right back with Colorado Representative Dave Williams.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there and go over to Facebook and give us a like. Alex Trebek passed on yesterday. He was the host of Jeopardy for all those years. Rest in peace for sure. I only watched it a few times. I don't watch a lot of TV. Steve, were you ever a big fan of Jeopardy? Did you watch it a lot?
Not a lot. I come across it from time to time, and, you know, it was intrigued because he was an expert showman, a no-nonsense guy. Maybe some called him a little too intense because he sometimes beat up on the guests, but he was a classy guy, and again, no nonsense.
Well, rest in peace, Alex Trebek, host of Jeopardy. One other thing before we get to Colorado Representative Dave Williams. We had Richard Barris on Friday morning. It seems like that was a long time ago. Producer Steve, a lot has happened. But Richard had mentioned that he has started to go through some of the Michigan voter rolls. And he had actually located someone that was born in 1902 who was not dead yet, apparently, according to the voter rolls. So it would be 118 years old. This person requested a ballot in September and voted. On Sunday, Richard tweeted out, he's on the People's Pundit, that he has confirmation of 10,000 people voting absentee ballots in Michigan, and he says that there is a small tested list that suggests irregularities, there we go, are plenty. And so stay tuned on that, Producer Steve.
I made the mistake of putting a snarky post on Facebook that both my parents, I'm originally from Pennsylvania, and I mentioned the years that they passed away, and I mentioned that I think they both voted last week. And you won't believe the garbage I'm getting.
Oh, I'd love to see that. But hey, let's jump on over here to talk with Colorado Representative Dave Williams. There's going to be a very important vote today, and that is going to be for the Colorado House Minority Leader and the Assistant Minority Leader. And Dave Williams, your hat is in the ring for Assistant Minority Leader, correct?
Yep, that's correct.
Why is this such an important position, these two positions here?
Well, first off, thanks for having me on the show today, Kim. It's a great question. The reason these positions are important is because they're going to set the tone and the direction of our party and how we interact with Democrats and how we fight the good fight, essentially, for Coloradans across the state. And right now, there's sort of two directions that are in front of us. We have a fork in the road. One side wants to compromise and cooperate and surrender, quite frankly, to the Democrats, while another side, and that's my side, along with Representative Van Winkle, Kevin Van Winkle, for Minority Leader, that wants to fight the Democrats, especially when we're facing and looking at the prospect of a potentially Joe Biden presidency, which I hope doesn't happen, and any fraud that's uncovered, I hope it's uncovered and overturns these results. In any event, if that does occur, then you're going to be seeing an emboldened Democratic Party, and now's not the time to capitulate or surrender or compromise. Now's the time to fight even harder and do what we can to show how the Democrats are out of touch and are overreaching in every aspect of our lives.
And interestingly enough, as we've looked at, I think people like the words reach across the aisle, compromise. And I like those words as well, except when you reach across the aisle and you compromise to take away everyday hardworking people's their rights to take care of their family, their rights to have a business, their rights to keep most of the fruits of their labor. When you start to compromise those things away, that is not a good thing. Now, I know that America, the American idea, Dave, Representative Dave Williams, was founded on the idea of compromise, but they were compromising to get to a goal to have a government that would be governed by the people for the people. What we now see in Colorado, I think, is almost a kingship with the 217 plus executive orders that Polis has, and we've not had anybody really from the legislature to try to rein this in. That to compromise to a kingship, a dictatorship, that's not okay with me, Dave Williams.
Yeah, I absolutely think you're spot on, Kim. The problem here is when we talk about compromising, it's usually Republicans compromising for the most part towards Democrat policies. They're radical and out of touch. And, you know, everyone likes the idea, like you said, of reaching across the aisle. And I would love for Democrats to reach across the aisle with me and support protecting, you know, the life of the unborn. But they don't tend to do that. And you always see Republicans, for whatever reason, giving a little or giving in to Democrats here and there. And it's come high time that we force Democrats to come our way. And that's the problem. And this is why this election is so critical. We need to start fighting back and forcing Democrats to start coming our way. And we can do that. If we start, you know, turning up the heat, then we can make those Democrats see the light.
Well, and so what needs to happen? This vote is going to happen at 10 o'clock this morning, correct?
Right, correct.
Okay. And you are running for Assistant Minority Leader, and Kevin Van Winkle is running for House Minority Leader. And I have a list of representatives that we would recommend that you text or email as soon as possible. And that is Mark Catlin, Matt Soper, Perry Will, Rod Bockenfeld, Andy Pico, and Tanya Van Bieber. These are all representatives, and we would recommend that you, the listeners, reach out to them and encourage them to vote for Kevin Van Winkle for House Minority Leader and Dave Williams for Assistant Minority Leader. Dave, we've got just a couple of minutes left. What are the other things you would want our listeners to know about what's going to happen this morning?
Well, what I would say is that I've heard that list going around myself, and I'm not going to suggest that's a bad list or anything, but I would more importantly just recommend wherever you live, if you have a Republican legislator who represents you, let them know how you feel about this. Let them know that you want leadership that's going to stand up to Democrats and expose them for who they are. And by the way, please do so respectfully. I know a number of those guys have been receiving some passionate emails, but just keep in mind that these guys are trying to do their best and do what they can to represent their districts in an honest, ethical way. So be respectful of them as you make your requests, whoever that may be. And what I would say ultimately is, you know, get in those last minute messages, but also pray. I mean, the election might be over. People may have actually already decided everything. Now we're just waiting to go through the formality of the vote. So get your messages in and pray, because right now it looks like we're headed into pretty tough times, especially in Colorado. So vote for good leadership, or pray for good leadership as we get towards 10 a.m. today.
Well, I so appreciate, Dave Williams, you stepping up. I have come to know you. I know you are a man of real character. You have courage to take on this radical movement to the left that is occurring. A lot of people don't understand it. We need to have people that will stand up to that, because everyday hardworking Coloradans will not do well if this agenda continues on and gets compromised into that agenda instead of having people that will stand and be strong. So Dave Williams, greatly appreciate that. Each of you listeners out there, reach out to your Republican House representative today and recommend that they vote for Kevin Van Winkle and Dave Williams. Thank you so much, Dave.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay. Jason McBride, there's never a boring minute of things going on. It's Monday. And my emotions have been all over the place this weekend. How are you doing, Jason McBride?
Well, you know, Kim, I got to tell you, I just kind of had to turn everything off over the weekend. I couldn't take any more input of news. So, you know, I may not have been as emotional as you were. Plus, I'm a male, so it may have differed as well.
Normally, I'm not quite like this, but I just see such danger for our country. But as I was driving in, Steve and I were talking, and he said that he had, I think, a friend or a relative that has said, don't you find it interesting that President Trump has kind of stepped back to, I've not seen a whole lot out of him now that he mentions it, but I'm seeing Biden, in fact, I'd printed it off, talk about the things that he's going to do when he gets into office. He's going to rejoin the Paris Climate Accords. He's going to repeal the Trump tax cuts. He's going to, let's see, he'll repeal the ban on almost all the travel from Muslim majority countries. Just all the things that he's going to do. And in a way, it's kind of like, is this a poker game where Trump is letting them all step forward and now really show their cards? Will the next thing be that Biden's going to go, oh, I'm going to pack the court? Anyway, what do you think quickly?
Well, there's some of those things he'll be able to do whether he has the Senate or not. And some of them he really won't be able to do unless he gets the Senate and they cooperate with him. So we may still have a little bit of a way to temper their notorious plans, at least for a couple of years. But we'll have to see how the runoffs go in January, Kim. Now, the market is really excited this morning because apparently Pfizer and another company say that their coronavirus vaccine is about 90% effective. Now, I remember just a couple of weeks ago, before the election happened, all of these trials had to be put on hold because this went wrong or that went wrong, and now magically we're getting vaccines and all that type of thing now that the media believes that the election is over. Nonetheless, the market is very happy. The futures on the Dow right now are up almost 1,600 points, Kim.
That's astounding.
Which should open the Dow at a new all-time high.
Okay, then what I would recommend, though, now, between now and the end of the year, sit down with you, Jason, do a discovery session, because if Joe Biden does get elected, this whole tax structure is going to change. And every cent that you don't have to pay in taxes and you can keep in your pocket, you don't have to go out and work to earn that. So now, do not delay. Now you need to call Jason, you and your colleagues at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. The end of the year is going to be here before we know it, Jason.
Yeah, it's going to come up quicker than we expected, just like the election and everything else did. So, you know, again, I know there's a lot of folks out there that are feeling very unsettled about this election, about a Biden presidency, what it could do to the market, what it could do to the economy. And again, with moves like this occurring, it almost feels like, you know, you're really getting a chance to make changes if you want to with the markets at a much higher price, which is a blessing.
Absolutely. I would not delay. Call Jason McBride today, again at 303-694-1600. That's Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, 303-694-1600. Jason, have a great day.
You too, Kim. Bye-bye.
And we'll be right back with, you will not want to miss this, Keith McKim. He is a storyteller. He's a former Army Green Beret, received the Silver Star for Valor, Bronze Star, and Purple Heart. And he's going to tell us the story of Roy P. Benavidez, a Medal of Honor winner who served in the Vietnam War. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
I will always do my duty, no matter what the price.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts and our most recent op-eds. Go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. And this is Veterans Day week, and we have amazing guests throughout the week. Today we've got Keith McKim on the line. Keith McKim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. How are you?
I am well. And I'm excited about this. You have put together, you are a former Army Green Beret. You have a Silver Star for Valor, a Bronze Star, and Purple Heart. You're a storyteller. You have a degree in speech communication from Metro College. You're a professional, motivational, inspirational, and political speaker. You're a published author and actor in church and community theater, and an amateur singer and poet. You have put together a series of audiobooks. It's the Vietnam, the Green Berets. And do I say Green Berets or Beret? Is it like Corps? Do I sound the S or not?
It depends on the situation. Yes, you can use it. We were Green Berets, and the individual was a Green Beret.
Got it. And this audiobook is on the Green Berets SOG, the Medal of Honor recipients. Tell us a little bit about that, Keith McKim.
Well, SOG was the most secret elite unit to serve in the Vietnam War. So secret was labeled a black operation, meaning that its very existence was concealed, even denied by the United States government. In the 8 years of its existence, it garnered 9 Medals of Honor for the Green Berets. There were 248 Medals of Honor awarded during the Vietnam War. Of the 161 awarded to the Army, 20 went to the Special Forces, the Green Berets. Of the 20 awarded to Special Forces, 9 of them went to SOG. Anyone who served with SOG or jumped the fence as an operator is a hero. To jump the fence, as cross-border operators were called, required men of unparalleled courage. More than 100% of SOG operators were wounded, and 50% were killed. Yet they went again and again to face and defeat America's enemies. People ask me, how can you get more than 100% wounded? Well, most of SOG men were wounded multiple times, and after healing, most still went back across the fence. And although 50% of SOG men were killed, they had the highest kill ratio in the history of the United States military, 158-1. For every SOG man killed, the enemy lost 158 men. You know, no SOG man who was captured in Laos was ever released from the POW camps. After the war, it was learned from the North Vietnamese, both high-ranking officers and individual soldiers, that SOG was the most feared unit that the North Vietnamese faced. It's amazing that this tiny group of men could cause such trepidation and fear in the hearts of seasoned soldiers. I think my Medal of Honor stories will tell you why. You know, at its height of the Vietnam War, there were more than 600,000 American soldiers in uniform serving in country. Of all those 600,000, about 4,000 were Special Forces, the Green Berets. Of the 4,000, fewer than 10% a year, volunteered for MACV SOG service. When you eliminate the administration, training, and support personnel, that number shrinks to about 108 men, those who actually ran the missions that SOG is famous for. Broken down into three units, south, central, and north, that means there are about 36 operatives per unit, tiny by military standards. SOG took orders directly from the office of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in the Pentagon, or from the executive branch of government in the White House. SOG was assigned only the most dangerous, high-value targets, targets that would cost the enemy dearly, targets that were sure to cost a SOG man's blood, if not his life. SOG teams operated alone, deep behind enemy lines in Laos, Cambodia, and North Vietnam. They operated mostly with six-man teams, two Americans and four indigenous personnel. They were opposed by thousands of North Vietnamese Army soldiers. SOG carried out some of the most dangerous missions ever conducted by the U.S. military. SOG history is the stuff of legends. On April 4th, 2001, 29 years after SOG had been disbanded, the United States of America officially recognized the bravery, integrity, devotion, and sacrifice of its covert warriors. The unit was awarded the Presidential Unit Citation. The citation reads, in part, "The Studies and Observation Group is cited for extraordinary heroism, great combat achievement, and unwavering fidelity while executing unheralded top-secret missions deep behind enemy lines across Southeast Asia. MACV SOG is the most highly decorated unit of its size in the history of the United States military. SOG also had the most highly decorated soldier in the history of the U.S. military, Staff Sergeant, later Colonel Robert Lewis Howard. Under penalty of prison, fines, and disgrace, each SOG man took an oath swearing not to reveal anything about their missions for 25 years after the end of the war, and we lived up to that oath. Ironically, when SOG's top secret missions were declassified in 1998, we learned that in 1974 and 75, the Department of the Army had destroyed all of SOG's records. The alert orders, the pre-planned mission orders, all maps, diaries, photographs, and their negatives, all audio tapes, all daily reports, all after-action reports were obliterated. So when SOG activities were declassified in 98, there was no evidence that SOG had ever existed, except for the testimony of SOG warriors and their memorabilia, which included private diaries, photographs, their own stories, and most importantly, the awards, medals, and decorations for heroism and valor that had been officially awarded by the United States to the men of SOG. After the top secret restrictions were lifted in 97, many SOG men wrote their stories. But America was not interested in reading them. America wanted to forget the Vietnam War, and they were hostile to the Vietnam vet. The Vietnam veteran became the most maligned soldier that the United States had ever sent to war or brought home. Yet he fought some of the toughest battles ever in the history of the United States. Of all the units that fought in Vietnam, SOG was the most unique. It was probably the most unique in U.S. military history. Military Assistant Command Vietnam Studies and Observation Group was never assigned an official crest or patch, so SOG men designed one for themselves, and although it's not officially recognized, SOG men wear it to this day. They wear it proudly.
Keith McKim, let's stop on that because I want to make sure that we have enough time for you to tell the story of Roy P. Benavidez. And this gives us a lot of great information about SOG. You can get Keith's audiobook at Amazon. It's called Vietnam, the Green Berets SOG Medal of Honor Recipients. But let's go to break, Keith McKim, because when we come back, we want to hear the story of Roy P. Benavidez. Before we go to break, though, Castle Gate Knife and Tool is one of my great partners. They're located right in Sedalia, Colorado. Castle Gate Knife and Tool they work with the best blade makers from throughout the world. Whether or not you're a collector, military personnel, a sportsman, something for your kitchen, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place to go for your most favorite knife. Be sure and check them out at castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Keith McKim. He is a Green Beret SOG. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. We have on the line with us a Green Beret, and that is Keith McKim. He has put together an audiobook that I would suggest each and every one of you get some young person for Christmas, and that is Vietnam, the Green Berets of SOG, the Medal of Honor recipients. Keith McKim, it is great to have you on the line.
Thank you again, Kim. Thank you.
Let's jump right in here. You're going to tell the story of Roy P. Benavides, and quite an inspirational story. Let's take it from here, Keith.
Thank you, Kim. The story I'm about to tell is a true story. It's the story of a hero. I'd like to start by defining what a hero is, not a dictionary definition, but the definition of the life of a man who I think we can all agree is a hero, a man by the name of Roy Perez Benavides. Roy was born in 1935, the son of a Texas sharecropper. He was orphaned at age 10. He dropped out of school in the seventh grade. In his hometown, he was known as a dumb Mexican. This dumb Mexican was to become one of that rare class of warriors, a recipient of the Medal of Honor, the highest award that the United States can bestow on its military heroes. Roy enlisted in the Army in 1952 at the age of 17. In 1965, while serving with the 82nd Airborne in Vietnam, Benavides stepped on a landmine. He was evacuated to Brooks Army Medical Center, San Antonio, Texas, where he was told that he would never walk again. This dumb Mexican didn't believe the diagnosis, and defying doctor's orders, he began an exercise program on his own. At night, in the darkness, he would slip from his bed, and using his elbows and chin, he would crawl to the nearest wall. He focused his mind through the numbness in his feet and into the pain of his toes until he could move them. Then he moved his ankles, his feet, and eventually he hoisted himself up and stood, leaning against the wall. Finally, he walked out of the hospital under his own power. Benavides stayed in the Army and was assigned to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, home of the 82nd Airborne and the Green Berets. Despite continuing pain from his wounds, he worked hard and finally qualified for Special Forces, the Green Berets. In January 1968, he returned to Vietnam. On May 2nd, 1968, a Special Forces SOG team, Special Operations people, was surrounded by a hardcore North Vietnamese Army battalion. A battalion is made up of four companies. A company is made up of 120 men. This fight would pit 480 North Vietnamese Army soldiers against Roy Benavides, two other Green Berets, and 10 Mountain Yards, all seriously wounded, four dead. At 1:30 that day, screams for help were heard over the radio in the comma tent. Get us out of here! For God's sakes, get us out of here! Benavides was in the comma tent and heard the call. He grabbed a knife and a medical bag, then jumped on the helicopter to try to rescue the trapped team. When they arrived at the scene, the enemy were too numerous to attempt the rescue. The chopper retreated to a position about 100 yards away, 10 feet off the ground. Benavides leaped from the helicopter with only his knife and his medical supplies. Landing on the ground, he was shot in his leg. He got up and moved toward his comrades. A grenade blast knocked him down, shrapnel punching into his face and neck. But he reached the team and began treating the wounded, distributing ammunition, and calling in airstrikes. He was shot again. Ordering the helicopter to come in closer, he got most of the dead and wounded aboard, then ran back to retrieve the last dead body. He was shot in the stomach. Holding his guts in with his left hand, he moved toward the helicopter, dragging his dead comrade. A grenade wounded him in his back and neck, but he got up again and kept moving and made it back to the chopper. It rose up off the ground, and the pilot was shot in the head and killed. The helicopter crashed. Benavides pulled everyone, dead and wounded, from the burning helicopter. Creating a defensive perimeter, Benavides radioed for the fast movers, that's the jet planes, to come in and conduct airstrikes. He also called for another helicopter to attempt the rescue. He kept fighting and encouraged the other wounded to fight until the helicopter could arrive. He was shot several more times. When the jets arrived, he directed them to their target until the enemy got so close that he directed the jets to come in danger close. In military jargon, danger close means that the good guys are in danger of getting killed by friendly fire. A second helicopter finally arrived at the LZ, the landing zone, and Benavides loaded everyone on board, dead and wounded. Just then, a North Vietnamese soldier charged from the jungle and clubbed Benavides with the butt of his rifle, breaking his jaw. Roy fought on and killed his enemy, but not before he was bayoneted in both arms. Lying on his back, Benavides held his guts in with his own hands for that 20-minute ride back to the base. At Loc Ninh, he was taken off the chopper. He was triaged and placed with the dead. This 32-year-old son of a Texas sharecropper had just fought for 6 hours, suffered 7 serious gunshot wounds, 28 shrapnel wounds, a broken jaw, 2 bayonet wounds, a collapsed lung, and a piece of shrapnel embedded in his heart, was triaged and placed with the dead. But he was alive. His uniform was ragged and torn. His body was filthy. His intestines were exposed, covered in disgusting jungle slime. His body oozed his life's blood. His eyes were blinded from the dry black blood that covered them. His jaw was broken, but he could hear, and he knew what was happening. He lay in a body bag, bathed in his own blood, as a doctor came over to feel each dead man's chest for a heartbeat before zipping up the bag for the final time. When the doc touched Benavides' chest, Roy forced his head up and spit a bloody glob of goo into the doctor's face. The surprised doctor revised Roy's condition from dead to, "He won't make it, but we'll try." Roy did make it, and received the Medal of Honor for his actions that day. President Ronald Reagan said on the day that he awarded the medal that if this was a movie script, you would not believe it. Roy Benavides is a hero and an inspiration for those of us who are in this fight to save our nation. And make no mistake, we are in a fight for the life and the soul of our great nation. I'd like to close by quoting General George Patton when he said, "It is foolish and wrong to mourn the men who are wounded and killed. Rather, we should thank God that such men exist. Thank God for men like Roy Benavides and for those of you who are willing to fight to save America. God bless you. God bless Roy Benavides. And God bless the United States of America."
Keith McKim, the story of Roy P. Benavides is absolutely remarkable. If you look at the fact that he was orphaned by the age of 10, he joined the military at, I think you said, the age of 17.
Yes.
And as I was preparing for this, you and I actually have had some other interviews as well from this amazing audiobook that you've put together, Vietnam, the Green Berets of the SOG, and that's the Special Operation Group, the Medal of Honor recipients. But what an amazing story. It's as I was looking on the internet yesterday, I found a picture of Roy P. Benavidez, and it gives me great inspiration to think about him as this young child, a son of a sharecropper to Medal of Honor recipient, and you have a president who is talking about the character of this particular man, Keith McKim.
Yeah, it's tough to realize that he died at age 54, had so many wounds and so much pain, and I got a letter from his daughter thanking me for the story about her father, and that was special for me. You know, going back to SOG, I'd just like to make a couple points. One is that, you know, we've all heard of the 300 Spartans who faced 100,000 Persians at Thermopylae, making the odds 334-1. The North Vietnamese divided the Ho Chi Minh Trail into 20-mile segments called Binh Tran. Each segment had 5,000 men of the troops. That means 5,000 divided by 6 SOG men, and you have odds of 834-1. And those 5,000 troops are often augmented with an additional 10,000 to 20,000 combat troops, either returning from fighting in Vietnam or those going down. And you divide 6 SOG men into 20,000, you have odds of 3,334-1. And against those odds, and with the help of American air power, we won most of the time. There were no reserve troops to back us up, and artillery was not allowed to shoot across international borders. Our only support, there were no troops to back us up, and our only support were the air crews. And, you know, in the end, these courageous men served us in the combat and came and got us, and they are SOG men's heroes.
The question is why, Keith, why? And I think about how we take our freedom for granted today. And when we see a veteran, I used to say, thank you for your service. And one of the guys said, I would actually prefer that people say, thank you for my freedom. Question, why, against such odds, why, Keith McKim?
Why would we do the things we did?
Yes.
Well, there's patriotism. And that, as the man said, the cause for freedom, it's ingrained in these warriors. And these guys were warriors we're talking about. When you go through basic training, they separate people, you know, into clerks and mechanics and the warriors. And then they go on to airborne school. They go to ranger school. And each time they eliminate the guys who aren't really focused. And you get to the Green Berets. And again, there's a cutout. You get to Vietnam. And there's another cut. And then you go to SOG. As I said, only 4,000 a year Green Berets were in Vietnam. Fewer than 10% volunteered. Why do they do it? I guess part of it's a challenge, but there's also that love of country. And then their attitudes. They would die rather than be captured. We did get captured. We had 357 missing in action in Laos. None of them were ever released from the POW camps. We knew that. We knew the odds, and we knew what that meant. So most teams would fight to the death rather than be captured. Why? I guess it's up to each individual soldier. I can't answer that question.
Okay.
I know I love my country, and that's why I fought. That's why I worked hard to become one of the best of the Army that they had to offer them, the best programs, the best training. And the love of country and love of family, it's all there. There's no one answer.
Another friend of mine, a former Army Ranger, Ben Mart, he's a patriotic historian as well, and he said that patriotism is love of country. And there are those that have tried to make patriotism look like, hey, we're better than everybody else. It's not. It's love of country. The other thing that I see is generally this idea that there is something bigger than us as well, and that is our love of country, our love of family, our love of our God is, I think, the things that I've seen the theme of a soldier stepping forward to want to protect freedom, to fight against evil and tyranny, and that's a common theme that I've seen, Keith McKim.
Yes, and there's family that goes in there, too, and you rest. we are a unique country. And as you were mentioning before this interview, we're fighting right now for the soul of our country against what I consider an evil force. We can survive it, but at the same time, might be the judgment of God on us. Israel had to suffer a number of times when they allowed, you know, the Azura poles that where they sacrificed babies. They allowed homosexuality into the system, and they began worshiping idols. And that seems to me, in a lot of cases, that's where we are right now.
Well, Keith McKim, we are just about out of time. We've got about 30 seconds. What is the final thought that you would like to leave with our listeners this morning?
Well, I'd like everybody to listen to the CD, get a feel for who and what SOG was, and the respect that the American soldier deserves for putting their lives on the line for America. You know, we are a patriotic country, and we got reason to be proud of our military.
Keith McKim, thank you so much. And again, that is Vietnam, the Green Berets, SOG, the Medal of Honor recipients. I'd recommend that each of you go to Amazon and pick that up. Keith McKim, thank you so much today.
God bless you, Kim. Thank you.
God bless you as well. And my friends, our quote for today is, America, we're the home of the free because of the brave. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Young, like a new